Hey everybody, and welcome to a righteous wild ride with Steve-O. We've got Adam Devine, who is frankly on fire right now. Plus, he's been all over the news because there was an actual murder at his neighbor's house during a high-stakes poker game. And he's been freaking out because the media has the impression that he witnessed the murder, and now he thinks he might be a target for the murder. It's all very real, very juicy. There are a lot of private parts in this conversation, plus like stuff that I couldn't even believe he revealed about his latest interactions with Zac Efron, Danny McBride. I mean, it is high power and totally intense. So let's get into it. Yeah, dude, be careful with your head on the way in.
Watch your feet.
Watch my head, watch my feet, torso. What's up, man? How's it going?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, good, man. Dude, this is a treat, man. It's not that often where I interview somebody and I'm actually just a complete diehard fan of their shit.
Thanks, man.
The Righteous Gemstones is so fucking badass.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and we're back, baby.
It's
the fun has started once again.
And that's what we're promoting here?
That and The Outlaws, the movie I have coming out on the 7th.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay. So, can you angle us our air conditioning? We've got this. It's pretty cool, man. Did you see the air conditioning outside of the van in the front?
I did.
It's just...
That's
it's
sick.
Like a fucking full-on meth
lab.
Yeah, this
is tight. I like this a lot.
we were recording a podcast the other day, and the cops made us open up the door to show that we weren't cooking meth in here.
Oh, really? I like Breaking Bad has it influenced enough people that they're like,
yeah,
everyone's cooking meth.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a color?
Above your head.
Yeah, above your head.
Yeah, let's go blue, man.
Blue.
Blue's probably the most popular
that kind
color.
Of blue?
Yeah. People like.
That kind of blue?
It's my favorite
or
color.
Maybe like yeah, that kind of blue?
Let's go the last blue.
The last one, the purple blue, the last good blue, that midnight blue.
That was actually my favorite color as a kid, and then other kids would make fun of me and be like, "You like purple?" And I'm like,
"It's midnight blue."
I'm like, "It's midnight blue, bitch." I had a dino bike, and every kid's like, "That's fucking purple," and I'm like, "No, bitch, it's midnight
purple's
blue.
Just lame to like."
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's dive into it. I got 419. You know what? I might even be extra.
1 minute away, man.
I might be even extra pro. Let me see. No, I'm not going to be extra pro.
Yeah, well, that's a regular amount of pro. We're good.
420.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Devine in the flesh.
What's up, man?
Dude, it's great, man. I'm doing great, dude. It's great to have you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for
having
me.
I'm thrilled to show you the van because you were on Zoom.
I've never been in it. It's nice to see. This is a sick setup you have here.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's awfully convenient to be able to bring the podcast to the guest. Bring the studio to the guest.
And it's nice that I had you park on the side of a cliff, which is we are ready to slide right off right now.
Yeah, emergency brake is on.
Good.
They said you had police activity at your house all week.
Yeah, dude, someone was murdered across the street from my house.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you. I heard you murdered your neighbor. What's up?
Yeah, I didn't murder but it wasn't me. They have, like, poker games over there, and I don't know exactly what happened. But, there's a murder. And then I talked about it on our podcast, and this is important, the podcast I do with the Workaholics guys. And then the headline was... Adam Devine and wife witness murder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what happened. And I don't want any psychopath out there being like, they witnessed it. We've got to go back. So, we did not see it. If the killer watches this.
Right. I saw you tweeted that. And there, I could read in the text of the tweet like that.
There's some manic energy coming.
That urge.
I do not see shit, man.
Did you hear anything?
No, we weren't even home. We weren't even home when it happened, but it
allegedly.
Was...
Allegedly.
Yeah. No, we weren't, but the next day, there was, like, my friends and shit know where I live, and then it says, like, the 39-year-old man murdered in the Hollywood Hills, and then it shows a photo of my neighborhood, and my friends are like, Adam's 39. He lives right there. They think I was murdered, so I woke up to, like, 15 texts being like, dude, are you alive? Like, hey, homie, are you dead?
And they haven't caught anybody?
Not as far as I know. I don't know.
So the police activity, like, it continues.
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, they don't really keep you up to date, the police. Right. You know, they're not.
What does that do to your property value? Are you worried about that? Does it go up? Does it go down?
My wife was like, we have to sell the house today. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll wait it out. Yeah, I'm like, this is the Hollywood Hills, man. People are getting shot.
Right. People come and go all the time.
So.
Yeah, if anything, in the Hollywood Hills, that might bump up the value.
That's right. Like, this is a happening spot. High-stakes poker games? This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, what was that movie where all those people got murdered off Laurel Canyon?
Wonderland.
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty close to here. Kind of.
That was that involved the John Holmes, the guy with like the biggest wiener.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the wiener size of who is involved with this.
Right.
So, yeah. But so I don't know if there's going to be a movie involved. Yeah.
Sketch.
Yeah.
Fortunately, everybody knows our wiener size.
Yeah, they do. They know exactly the size of our wieners.
Yeah, do we know how many millions of Americans saw your wiener on Netflix?
Oh, they didn't tell us, like, exact numbers. My manager said they did. He's like, it's 70 million. And I'm like, no one ever told me that number, but a ton. Dozens of millions for sure.
I can absolutely attest that when that movie came out, it's all I heard about everywhere I went.
Yeah.
Some things you do move the needle, some things do not. And that thing, like,
turns out, and you know this, if you show your dick or butthole, people will talk about it.
Were you nervous about doing a scene having to show your dick?
I wasn't, dude, because it's in the movie Game Over, man. If people are like, what? But we did a movie, and you were cool enough to be in it. Thank you for doing it.
I loved it.
Because we wrote the movie. It took so long for it to get made that was like one of the first when we were like pitching ideas for the movie. That was one of the first ideas. So the scene is that the hotel's getting taken over by terrorists, and we're housekeepers, and we're like hiding in a room, and the terrorists are kicking down doors, and they're coming, and they're like, where should we hide? What should we do? And then I whip off my belt and I go, I've got an idea, and I go, snap, snap, and the audience doesn't know what that means. And then cut to the terrorists come in, they've got their guns drawn, and then they open up the closet door, and I'm hanging there with the belt around my neck with my dick, limp dick in my hand, autoerotic so asphyxiated myself.
Yeah.
And super fun. Inherently a very funny scene. And I wasn't really that nervous. I don't get nervous about shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's epic, man. And I was at the premiere where your mom got to see that scene. For the first time.
I was just I was just talking with them right before I pulled up. But my mom, like, while the scene was happening, like, my sister was there. Like, my sister doesn't want to see my dick. Like, you know what I mean? So my sister was like, I told her, I was like, hey, this is the scene. Mm-hmm. Divert your eyes if you don't want to see it. And I told my mom and her, and my sister was like the whole time, like, you know, not looking. And then my mom doesn't divert her eyes. Like, it's like, And then grabs my leg and it's like, I'm so proud of you, honey. They tell me how proud she is, like, while my dick is flapping about. And then we get in a full-on fight scene, and my dick's out for, like, 4 or 5 minutes straight within, and I get, like, solar plex kicked in the chest, and I, like, flip head over heels. So, like, if you pause it, I think you can see my butthole, or at least the entry point to my butthole. So it's
I was enough to make your mother proud. During Jackass, your sister and your niece,
they saw my butthole.
Yeah.
Like, loud and clear.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable for me, too.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. it's all good, man.
Most buttholes, they look the same. You know, buttholes are a butthole.
We did have a butthole beauty pageant in Cancun.
Oh, did you? Who won?
Buttholes are the
same. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not. Some of them look like a tied-off balloon.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
And some are probably wildly hairy. And
It was interesting when I was on Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino's Bad Friends podcast. Uh-huh. I mentioned that. And they just both popped up, turned around, and just spread their butt cheeks so wide. And
did they?
Yeah,
those eyes are wild.
They bared their buttholes like
what Santino did too. Because I know Bobby will show his butthole.
Santino did too, and they both had like impressive. I mean, clearly they're proud of.
Yeah.
Like, who had a better butthole? Yeah.
I mean, dude, it was a toss up. They were both like immaculate and tight and just
beautiful buttholes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, mine, admittedly, not the best looking.
Yeah.
But not mine's horrible, kinda ugly. You know, it's fine.
Okay, dude, I'm going to tell you. I got invited to host the main stage of the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Congrats.
The famous.
Sick, dude. Your career's really blossoming.
The famous insane clown posse. Uh-huh. And while I was on stage, I come out and introduce a band. And while I was out there, the audience was just screaming, "Show us your butthole." And I was confused by this, you know, but as I came off and one of the guys from ICP, Shaggy Tuned Up, I was like, man, they're like, they've been screaming, "Show us your butthole." He goes, "Oh yeah, they mean it. They want to see it." So I'm like, who am I to dash their dreams?
Yeah, I need money to be there.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give them what they want.
It is the dark carnival of the souls. They might as well see your dark carnival.
Right. So I went out there and I spread them as wide as I possibly could.
Nice.
And the next day, photos started popping up.
Yeah.
And my cavernous butthole is an absolute legend now.
Nice, dude. Congrats.
I think it's like, it was the lighting. It hit just right.
The clouds parted.
Yeah, it looked like it was like a gaping asshole. But like when we show your butthole on the pre-show, like it doesn't look like that at all.
I mean, yeah.
Well, he gaped it out for the crowd. This guy, I mean, he went to clown college. He knows how to gape a butthole.
I gaped it out. Dude, so epic. So I don't know if you had started your podcast when we spoke to you last.
Yeah, I can't remember if we did or not.
I remember it was because of the pandemic you guys started.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were just like, we got to do something and we want to stay in touch. And we're like, you know, we're really good friends, but you know how guy friends are. Like, you could just go like 5 years without talking to like your best friend. And then you're like, oh, hey.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if it was my idea, whose idea it was, but we were just like, let's start a podcast so we have a reason to talk every week.
You know what? I never need a reason to tell you how much I love my bed from Helix Sleep. That's right. And here I am in London, England, with this crazy new dog that I rescued from a local shelter. I'm fostering it. It's attacking everybody. And I'm not even worried about it. Bigger problem is that I'm sleeping on a bed in a hotel that didn't come from Helix Sleep. And that's just too bad. But you don't have to endure that. You can go to helixsleep.com/stevo and enjoy up to $350 off of any mattress, plus get 2 free pillows. And you know what? This mattress is going to be perfect for you because they have a 2-minute quiz that you take when you get to the website, and it matches you up with the perfect mattress for you and your partner if you sleep in bed as a couple. It's the time to get a brand new mattress that's perfect for you, and the way to do that is to go to helixsleep.com/stevo again for up to $350 off of any mattress plus 2 free pillows. Get rid of that disgusting old mattress and get a new one from Helix Sleep. Now let's get back to it. Yeah, and how many episodes are you in?
I think we're like 130 or 140, something like that. Yeah, we've just been churning and burning, baby. It's really fun. I love doing it.
Yeah.
And the fact that anyone listens, I'm like, this is, like, it's so fun to, like, be out and about. Because when you, like, do a movie or you have a TV show, you think people are watching. Because you're like, people are telling you, like, this many people are watching or, you know.
Right.
So I'm always so amazed that, like, when I'm out at a restaurant or specifically it's valet guys. I feel like every valet guy, every valet guy everywhere, it's just like TII Nation, which is, this is important.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's fascinating how the medium of podcasts is so compelling to some people. And what it is it's the unedited, unfiltered, unraw. Like, mm-hmm. they're right there. They feel like they're with you hanging out. And I just don't get it, but...
Not for me, but... No, it's true. It's like some people are like, oh, I love it. Like, oh, like, you know, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm right. like, none really. Like, I'll like watch clips of my friends' right. podcasts and things like that. But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm like, right. I think it's people that have like long commutes and stuff. Like anyone that I know that like has like an hour long commute right. every day, they're like, yeah, I just listen to podcasts.
But do you watch the news anymore, or do you watch political shit?
I am madly in love with Lester Holt. NBC Nightly News.
NBC Nightly News.
I would say that's one of the ones where I feel like they're. And whether they are or not, I have no idea. But, like, it's the nightly news where they just come on for 1 hour and tell you news. That's what I like the best. And it's not like the CNN or the Fox or whatever where they just have to talk all goddamn day. And
right.
Then,
dude, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
NBC nightly news. It's like a half-hour TV show and without commercials. So it's great. But, you know, going back to the podcast thing, like, I love it. I love that we get to have fascinating conversations with, like, famous people on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So I guess it does make sense that people, they're stoked to hang out with me and you, dude.
Yeah, it's fun. I love doing it. So
big time star, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, dude.
Like, you're killing it. And we've got a couple things to promote for you, one of which I know nothing about. You said it's a new movie.
Yeah, it's a new movie. It's called The Outlaws. Comes out July 7th. It's the cast is incredible, dude. It's me and Pierce Brosnan and Nina Dobrev and Ellen Barkin, Michael Rooker. It's
Michael Rooker. Yes. Wow, dude. He played Henry the for the Portrait of a Serial Killer. Is that right?
Is that right? I he was in Days of Thunder. He was like the villain in Days of Thunder opposite Tom Cruise. He's the shit. And Pierce Brosnan, obviously 007 is the man.
He have an accent?
Yeah.
Is it Irish?
He's
or
Irish.
English?
He's Irish.
It's an Irish accent.
Yeah. And so he can, like, twist it to be.
Yeah,
because
I saw a movie with him when he was doing an Irish accent. I'm like, he's pretty good at it, but,
yeah,
like, what
pretty
is he?
He's spot on with that Irish accent. Yeah, so he's Irish in our movie. We're just like, let it fly. So he says, like, funny Irish things. He calls me a sheep shagger, which is an Irish thing to call people. But, the premise essentially is, like, I'm about to get married to Nina Dobrev, and I've never met their in-laws. I've never even seen photos. There's, like, no photos of these people. They come into town. They're, like, the coolest motherfuckers, and it's Ellen Barkin, Pierce Brosnan, and they take me out, and we get drunk. I get a tattoo. We go skydiving, like, all the shit that I normally wouldn't do. I'm, like, a straight-laced bank manager guy, and I go into work the next day all hungover, and Lil Rel, who works at the bank with me, is like, yo, you look like shit, dude. It was that bad meeting your in-laws? And I'm like, it was that good. Like, I just need a nice, chill day, where I can relax. But my in-laws are the shit. Click, click, there's a gun to my head, and my bank is getting robbed by two people in masks. And as they leave, they say something that leads me to believe that my in-laws are actually these infamous outlaws that are bank robbers.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and then it's just, it starts off, and you're like, oh, this is just like kind of a cute rom-com, you know, I've seen a movie like this before, and then it goes full on ape shit and it's like a big action movie, and we got to do some like really cool stunts and like chase sequences. We got to destroy a ton of cars and
nice.
Yeah, did you actually go skydiving?
No, movie magic.
Movie magic.
Yeah.
So you have to see the movie to find out if the in-laws are actually bankrupt.
They are.
It's actually at the end you find out.
That's not like really the twist. The twist, because you find that out pretty early.
Right, okay. And Point Break camp bank robber?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. They like wear these like crazy masks and have like a voice disguise thing. But then like we got to do like some really, really cool stunts. Like I drove an armored truck through a cemetery. And, like, wow. Cop cars are chasing me through the cemetery, and I'm just, like, plowing over gravestones, headstones, and, like, cop cars are, like, hitting the headstones and, like, flipping and doing all kinds of crazy shit. It was really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. And where does that come out?
Netflix on July 7th, so.
Netflix is back on top, huh? Like, all the news is they're struggling, their stocks are...
Their stocks are going like this.
Yeah. They're doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, 4X in the last 2 months, and I'm just... killing myself for selling too early.
Yeah.
You had a comedy special on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Best Time of Our Lives. That's on Netflix. Game Over Man's on Netflix. I got a rom-com called When We First Met on Netflix. I love Netflix, dude.
Yeah.
I might not have a career if it wasn't for Netflix, man. Thank God.
After Viacom screwed you.
God damn it. Paramount Plus. I just did CBS morning show with like Gayle King like literally two days ago and it was awesome and they were very nice, but it was like all CBS is now Paramount.
Oh, and is so it CBS is Viacom?
Yes. Crazy. Yes, so it's all like under the same umbrella, and so I see all this like Paramount stuff everywhere, and I'm like,
because
they canceled the Workaholics movie,
right? We spoke with Durs about that at some length. It's crazy, man. Like, I get it if they were worried about the Workaholics brand being kind of America-centric and not having international appeal. That's fine. But why let it get so far downstream with the production schedule, like, locked in, everybody's hired, and then pull the plug at the last minute?
Yeah, it was like, it just kind of boned like our crew and all the people. Like, we'll be fine, but it really sucks for the people that are down the line that are like the grips and the electrics.
Yeah.
And like, those guys were our friends. So we hired like mostly everyone we could get back from Workaholics. And we're like, let's just bring everybody back. And people were canceling other jobs to work, come work with us. And then. It was just like they pulled the rug out from underneath all of us, and it was
It was a writer's strike.
And then the writer's strike happened. I was like, shit, man.
But yeah.
Is that TK involved in Workaholics?
TK, our boy.
Yeah.
Thomas Kellogg.
Thomas Kellogg. Love TK. TK's been around us since we went to college with him.
Wow, that's great. Dude, I love working with TK.
Yeah, he's the best.
When I've got like a big shoot... TK is just my guy.
TK's the best, dude.
When he got canceled, he was probably like, dude, I get to play pickleball now.
So he's all good. I get to play pickleball with Kyle more. Uh-huh.
Yeah, crazy. Netflix is definitely being good to you, but can we talk about HBO? Or, Max.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Contractually, I can't talk about...
I am a rabid fan of the Righteous Gemstones.
Ah, thanks, man.
Are you aware that my lady and I dressed up as Uncle Billy...
Oh, Uncle Baby Billy?
Yeah, baby Billy.
Yeah, when's the last time you dressed up for Halloween before that?
Yeah. Like
20 years?
No, I do it every year now because of Lux.
Yeah.
But we killed it.
That's sick.
Like, we killed it.
Yeah.
And what is it, Aunt Julie, Aunt Jill? Like, Baby Billy's girl with the...
Oh, God. I'm totally blanking.
I know, like, my God. Like, I swear I'm a fan.
Yeah, I saw on the goddamn show.
Dude, it's so good. Yeah. It's so damn good. And
well, her real name is Valen. She's a fantastic actress.
And Walter.
Yeah. The show's so damn fun. I mean, McBride has always been, like, a comedy king to me. So when he came and was like... Yo, you want to do this show with me? I was like, we had just gotten done doing Workaholics, and it's been like maybe a year or so afterwards, and I kind of was like, I don't want to do TV for a while. I just want to like do my own thing, do stand up, figure out some movies to do. And then when Danny called, I was like, yeah, of course,
I'm for gonna, sure.
Yeah, I got to do it.
And this is season 3 coming on.
Yep, season 3. Like the pandemic kind of boned us a little bit because. You know, no one could shoot anything, and we were about to go shoot season 2 when it shut down.
Yeah.
And then, so now we're only on season 3 when, in fact, we should be on, like, 4 or even 5.
I think you were getting ready to go shoot season 2 when we spoke last.
Yeah.
Season 2 came out. My girl and I, I mean, dude, HBO half-hour comedies, man. Like, Silicon Valley was just so good.
Uh-huh. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Righteous Gemstones. Like,
yeah, they do a good job of, like, just letting they hire good people and then letting them do what they want to do and not interfering. And I think that's, like, that's what Comedy Central used to be really good at. And, because they really let us do what we wanted to do.
Right. You know what I want to do? I want to be super healthy, look great, and start every morning with a delicious treat. And that's what I do, no matter where I am in the world, with AG1. This is the most delicious, comprehensive, and convenient nutritional supplement you can get. And you know what? You might have heard me talk about this before, but I just want you to try it once and tell me if it's not the most delicious nutritional supplement you've ever heard of. I use less and less water all the time to mix it with because I just can't believe how tasty it is. Plus, not to mention the 75 different vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens. I mean, this stuff is, on top of being so delicious, pretty much the healthiest thing you can put in your body, man. And I put it in my body every morning. It's the first thing I do, and that's why I'm so happy and healthy. And you can be too if you go to drinkag1.com/Stevo. If you do that on your first order, you're gonna get 5 free convenient travel packs, totally for free, plus an entire year's supply of vitamin D to boost your immunity. That's totally free with your first order at drinkag1.com/Stevo. And again, it's delicious. So jump on this deal and let's get back to it.
But I think we got in just under the wire where before, you know, Comedy Central is not even a... Is it still a network? I mean, I think it is,
it's
like, it's like nothing's on it anymore.
Nobody
nothing that you,
it anymore.
Yeah, that you even know, which sucks because I'm sure there's some funny stuff.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The end of season 2 felt like it was over.
Yeah, Danny, he really wants to. He's like, I don't want to be in the situation where you like. Where, you know, we think we're coming back, people love the show, but he's like, I want every season to feel like a self-contained thing.
Right.
So, like, if that's it, the audience is like, that was great, I loved it. And feel like you're left going like, well, they didn't finish telling the stories, you know?
Yeah, then you gotta wait, like, 9 months for the next one to come out or whatever.
Yeah, or even if you're canceled and you don't come back, and then they're just, like, going like, well, that sucks. Yeah. What happened?
Right, it's bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
Danny's just the king. He's really...
Oh, yeah, have you met him?
I don't think I've ever met him.
Yeah, he's the shit. He's, like, just as cool as you want him to be, you know?
And he lives in North Carolina?
South Carolina. Yeah, Charleston.
Just doesn't really get in the mix too much, huh?
Yeah, he lived here for, like, 20 years, and then, like, I think they shot Vice Principals, which is a show right before Gemstones, and they shot in Charleston, and he had, like, I don't think he'd spent that much time in Charleston, and then shooting there for a year, because they shot 2 seasons back-to-back, and he was like, I fell in love with it. He said he came back, got his stuff, and like, 20 families moved out with him. He just, like, moved out with the whole...
Whoa.
A whole crew of people, and he was like, let's start Hollywood
sick.
South.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So, now is Righteous Gemstones already airing? It is.
Yeah, the first 2 episodes just came on last Sunday, and then now it'll be every Sunday for the next, you know, what, 7 more weeks or something.
Dude, fantastic. My girl and I are not allowed to watch it alone.
Yeah.
That's like appointment watching for us together.
Well, that's good. And don't do it, because that's how relationships implode over things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah. You could lose it all if you decide to just press play.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, same thing with Black Mirror. That's we started watching. God damn, this new season of Black Mirror is good.
I watched the first couple episodes. It is really good.
I've watched precisely 2 and not the 3rd yet.
You haven't seen the one with Aaron Paul?
No, not yet. I haven't yet. How's that one?
I can't talk about it.
Tell. Secrets.
Yeah. So you've been married like 2 years now?
Yeah, a little, not quite 2 years, like ooh, a little you gotta year
know.
And a half.
You gotta know.
Yeah, no, it'll be 2 years in October,
oh,
so
there
I do
you go.
Know the date.
Okay, good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
Yeah, Marisa.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about losing it all.
Yeah, right? what's her first name?
Are you planning on having kids?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy. To me, that's the craziest thing.
I mean, yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy to be like, it's growing. You know, especially like, she's like an only child. My little sister doesn't have kids, so it'll be like the first kid in like either of our families.
Wow.
So it'll be a wild ride, I'm sure.
In my YouTube feed, I saw a video that said, don't bring children into the AI world.
What kind of algorithm you got going on YouTube?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But
I think people are so goddamn scared of the AI stuff. I'm like, dude, I mean, for sure it'll be weird. I bet it's just gonna be humans are just gonna be lazy sacks of shit and AI is gonna do everything for us. Like,
I guess.
That's what I think's gonna happen. Or end of the world.
Terminator
who knows?
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not as concerned about like, you know, AI trying to wipe out the human race, but I'm kind of surprised that there has not been like a deep fake, at least some kind of a good scandal, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they're like, here's a video of Barack fingering his butthole. It's out. With Hillary's computer.
Yeah.
It's deep state.
Right. I mean, there could be like, and how, when people are embroiled in scandals, nobody's pulled the, oh, that was a deep fake card.
Dude, I think it's not quite there. I think we're like another 6 months later and there'll be all kinds of shit. Of
yeah,
just
but everything's like,
fake.
Have you seen that they're making with a 3D printer edible chicken? Like you can just eat chicken that they made with a 3D printer.
Is that real, Bam?
Yeah, it's real. It has all the fucking like ingredients or whatever is in a goddamn chicken and you cook it and eat it.
But it's not like a real chicken.
It's a 3D.
What do you mean? It all the ingredients are chicken.
It's like a clone of a chicken used by like made from a 3D printer.
Yeah, so
like,
you can eat it. It's edible fucking chicken.
Well, that's tight.
Would you eat it as a vegan?
Scott Randolph.
Oh, God. Scott Randolph believes everything he hears on social media.
No matter what bullshit comes through his Facebook feed, he's he gobbles it up, and it is gospel to him.
But did you hear that, too?
I did see that,
Did you believe it?
Yes, I did believe it.
Okay,
but
well, maybe it's real. Maybe it's real. Would you eat that as a vegan? Would you eat
that? I'm back to pescatarian, so okay. I have not eaten chicken in over 15 years. I don't first off, I would have to believe that what you're saying is true to begin with, and then I would have to evaluate it. But
well, do you eat like Beyond Burgers and stuff like that?
I do, and I eat it recognizing that it is awful for me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That
what's it made out of?
What, the Beyond Burgers are awful for?
Oh, all that stuff is like soy.
It's chicken. Yeah. It's just heavily processed. Like, I know, like, the Gardein fake meat. All that fake chicken is just super heavy processed soy and wheat. One time I went to what's called a colonic hydrotherapy to get a tube up my butt and, like, really...
And you like that stuff, though. So that was,
It took you back to your good old days.
To flush it all out. And this lady, it's coming out through this clear hose, and it's all just... This lady's like... What are you eating? And I was like, oh, I'm totally vegan. I eat lots of Gardein. She's like, the problem here, and she's pointing to all of this just cloudy.
Meanwhile, there's just like green goo just gushing out of you.
She was like, what we're seeing coming out of you right here is evidence that your body does not recognize that stuff as food. You're eating stuff that your body does not recognize as food.
Oh, weird. Like, yeah, I guess it's like human evolution. Like, our bodies haven't caught up with, like, how we've made things to eat.
Yeah, it's like the buffalo, boneless buffalo wings at Yard House. That's all Gardein, right?
Yeah, and I love it. So I love it. Like, I still eat it. That's Gardein. I still eat it, but I just don't try not to eat it that much. And that's why I went back to eating seafood, because I just believe it's healthy for me to eat stuff that my body recognizes as food.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. I would say that's probably a safe bet, is your body should recognize it as food.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm curious to know, Adam. Please. Like, do you have one piece of content that you've posted on the internet that has wildly outperformed everything else?
And it's not butthole related. So we've already covered all butthole related topics. I think, I guess the thing that I posted that I was like, I posted it from the set of Righteous Gemstones.
Ooh.
And like the 22-year-old like little PA kids that work on the show were like popping in and being like, oh my God, dude, perfect. Was Adam Levine, who I have a name very similar to that guy.
Yeah.
My name is Divine. His is Levine. You've switched the D with the L, and our names are switched. He had like a thing with, he was like texting some girl named Sumner and said, like,
I'm going to name
my baby Sumner after you. And and it was like he was having some kind of affair, allegedly. Uh-huh. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. And I was getting, this is how fucked up news is people are such fools that they just read his name, clocked it as my name in their heads, and were coming after me being like, fuck you, Adam. Like, you cheating on your wife. I thought you were a good guy, you scumbag. And then, like, girls being like, I used to like you. What the hell? From Pitch Perfect. I thought you were a nice guy. And, like, hundreds. And I was getting, like, news, like, from, like literal news organizations from, it was, like, local, like, Pittsburgh news or whatever.
Right.
And being, like, Adam Devine cheats on pregnant wife. And then just, like, fucked it up. They just, like, misspelled the name. And so I'm just getting, like, all this shit. And so I was, like, I'm not going to stand for this.
Yeah.
And so I get online and I'm on Instagram and I post a photo of me and my wife. And, and I was just, like, I don't even know what I said. Like, that's not me. I'm a totally different guy and a better singer. Ha, you know, joke.
Right.
But my wife and I are gonna name our future baby Sumner. Great name, something like that. And the internet just went. It was just like I like sent it and then went and did a scene. And when I came back, it had like 100,000 plus likes, like within like an hour or less.
Yeah.
And then all the little 20-year-old PAs were like, "What? Crazy!"
Yeah.
And I was like, "This is." It was so nothing thing for me but like it just tapped into that pop culture moment.
Yeah.
It just broke right into the news cycle.
Uh-huh.
Viral banger.
Yeah, it's weird when shit like the murder thing, it was like that.
Yeah.
It was just like just takes off and you don't think it's gonna take off or you have no idea, and then all of a sudden it's like that's what people are talking about.
Yeah, I was aware that the news had gotten it all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That you were upset about that, and that's why I opted to say, I heard you murdered your neighbor.
Yeah.
Vinny over here, Skinny Vinny, he said that your Workaholics bros were concerned when you went and did the Pitch Perfect movie. Look, man, I get it. It's totally natural for friends to be concerned about one another, especially if one of them has a filthy, nasty habit that it is time to ditch. And that's why I'm so happy to tell you this episode is brought to you by Fume. And if you go to tryfume.com and use the promo code Stevo, you're going to get 10% off the journey pack to start the journey. Now, what's this all about? It's a fume. It's a device that flavors air that you breathe in. So you can trade in dangerous chemicals for delicious flavored air. And this is just a great way to ditch a bad habit and replace it with a good habit. I've been giving them out to my friends. We're seeing great results. And if you know it's time for you to drop that filthy habit, then it is time for you to go to tryfume.com. That's T-R-Y-F-U-M. Stevo.com and use the promo code Stevo to get 10% off of your journey pack. Your journey to being healthier and happier starts now at TryFume.com with the promo code Stevo. Now let's get back to it. That it was going to...
I saw that Blake, not all of them, but Blake said
Blake
that
specifically.
It was a really bad idea.
Blake's sipping on some haterade, I think. But it was like, it was super early on during the Pitch Perfect, the Workaholics days. And it was like, I think we were shooting season two, or we were like finishing up writing season two or something like that. And I got the offer to be in this movie, and it's Pitch Perfect, and it's not a baseball movie, it is a singing movie. And I was like, the script I thought was funny, and I was like, well, let me see if my guys think it's funny. And so I give it to Blake and Durs, and Durs reads like 20-30 pages, and he's like, dude, I think this is pretty funny, I think you would be funny in this role, do it, it's a studio movie, like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's a job.
Yeah. And Blake was like, uh-huh. And then we're working late at night, and he comes in. By the way, he does not remember doing this. He thinks I'm making this story up, but I'm not. He did this. And he comes into my office, and or we might have been sharing an office at that time. And he comes into the room, and he's like, hey, dude, I don't think you should do the movie. I think it's going to ruin all of our careers if you do this.
He doesn't remember saying that.
He doesn't remember saying it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you did, motherfucker. So then it was like heavy on me thinking like, am I going to ruin not only my career, but also my friends' careers, that we just finally got careers after like trying to make it for so long. And then Workaholics is like taking off because, you know, Workaholics was like a cool show, you know, where like the kids who like party and have fun watch our show. I don't know if the acapella crowd necessarily crosses over, but then, you know, thank God I didn't listen to, and thank God I was willing to burn all of our careers to the ground for my own personal gain.
Out of all of that, the craziest piece for me was that your bros read a script that was for you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even read a script that's for me, let alone do it for my buddies. That's friends.
Yeah. Well, like I said, maybe 20 pages. They didn't finish the damn thing. But. Yeah.
Before Pitch Perfect, did you have any, like, did you do anything involving music or singing? Was that your first project involving that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that was the first thing. Like, wow. When I told my dad, I was like, because it's a studio movie. Universal made it. So, like, you know, that's, like, kind of a cool thing to do a movie that did actual...
I mean, you made it. That you're in a movie.
Yeah, you're in a real movie that a movie studio is putting out. And how Hollywood works is, like, you have to get in the door that way for then... so other studios will look and go, like, oh, okay, I guess he's allowed to be in movies now, you know?
Right.
When I called my parents, I was like, I'm going to be in this movie. It's Pitch Perfect. Not a baseball movie. It's Pitch Perfect. It's a singing a cappella movie. And my dad goes, well, you can't sing worth shit. And I go, yeah, I can. I can totally sing. And he's like, no, you can't. You fucking suck. And I'm like, no, I don't. You suck. You know, quit projecting onto me. You are the one that sucks at singing. I'm an okay singer. And he still to this day is like, I don't like it. And I'm like, all right, well, it's not for you, okay?
Vinny said that movie's hilarious. He loves it.
Yeah. No, people love it, dude. Yeah. Especially that first one is a funny movie.
The first one's the best.
Yeah, it was a funny movie.
No offense, but to me it was like, oh, like a movie about singing. Like,
yeah.
That's how I went into it, too.
That's how I went into shooting it. And then it turned out great. But I'm like, tell you what, I was like so glad I did it because I did it. It was like a runaway hit. I mean, it like cost like $15 million to make, and it made like $100+ million.
Nice.
And then, so it was like a runaway hit. They made three of them, and
were you in all three?
I was in the first two, and then now I do a spinoff TV show based on my character from Pitch Perfect called Bumper in Berlin. So like, it's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Wow.
And
where's that show?
That's on Peacock.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and so I got to spend like 4 months last year in Berlin, just living in Berlin as if I'm like a cool German guy.
Nice.
Which, have you been to Berlin?
Yeah.
That's a crazy city.
Oh, yeah.
That is a wild city. You got some, I can tell you're a little guarded right now. You got some Berlin stories.
Well, I was.
You go to Bergheim, put some stuff up your butt. What happened here?
I'm just waiting. Like, I went to Berlin on
the Reaper Bond.
What was I? I was thinking I was promoting that killer karaoke show I hosted. I was on an airplane with who's the chick from Pitch Perfect?
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. She was on the flight. Ate at the restaurant, just happened to be sitting next to Ryan Reynolds and Anna Kendrick on the patio at this restaurant. And then that night, they take me to Soho House.
That's where I stayed. I lived at the Soho House.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here at Soho House, and George Clooney's sitting right there. Like, I'm just like, man.
It's more Hollywood than Hollywood is. Exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like a turd for like saying all those names, but screw it. That was my trip to Berlin. I was there for like 2 days in the
whole yeah.
And that's the fucking, those are the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right, and whatever was going on in Berlin, it was a good weekend to be there.
Yeah, I was there for like 4 months. It's like, it's a truly nuts city because like, you're like working there, you get to meet like the, like just a guy who goes to work. Like, he's like the grip, mm-hmm. who just looks like a guy that you would just know. But then he's like, yeah, move, excuse me. And he speaks like German, you know? And you're like, oh, shit, this guy, he could live in Van Nuys, but he lives in Berlin. And then you see, like, at the Soho House, guys that are, like, about to go out that night in, like, full assless leather chaps with, like, their nipples pierced mm-hmm. with, like, a chain connecting, then a chain going down there. And they're like, what's that connected to? And, like, that guy's just sitting there, like, literally eating rotisserie chicken. Like, covered in grease, just, like, eating. You're like, this guy's just having a regular night. Like, it was a wild.
Yeah, and everybody speaks English, too. Like, for the most part, there's, like, no language barrier for us.
Yeah, it does make you go, like, oh, America, we're such assholes. Like, no one knows any other language. They're like, I speak French, I speak English, obviously I speak German.
The whole world is people who speak multiple languages, and then there's Americans.
Yeah.
And there's us.
Yeah. It's a crazy... There's a club called Bergheim, which is, like, the, like, techno, like, electronic music club. And we just went... I was like, that's not really my scene, but I kind of wanted to check it out. So, like, we went to, like, see... There was, like, a line, like, 4 city blocks long to get in of just, like... muscular, jacked dudes, all wearing like breakaway tracksuits because for sure they're just wearing like leather pouches over their nutsacks underneath there. And so we didn't go in. It was like the line was crazy. And we went to dinner like one of the nights, and the clubs had just opened it up because it was COVID times. And they were like, I was talking to the maitre d', and our table was getting ready, and he goes, how you like in Berlin? I'm like, it's cool. And he goes, the club's just open. Have you been to the clubs? And I'm like, no. And he goes, Bergheim, you got to go. It's so crazy. The piss parties. And we're like, what? And then he goes, okay, your table's ready. He's like, the piss parties. And I guess there's a guy at Bergheim who's been there for like 30 years. He's like a staple. He's like 60 years old now, and he's just as like spent his whole adult life at this at the Bergheim getting pissed on. They call him the piss goblin, and you'll be like pissing in the like trough in the men's bathroom, and he'll just like lay in there like
so
group trip, let's take this, let's get the let's get the wild ride over to Berlin, man.
Scheisen. They make Scheisen movies there too.
What are Scheisen movies?
Scheisen is German for shit.
Shit movies.
Scheisen.
What kind of shit movies are we talking?
I mean,
I think I've been in a few shit movies.
I mean, whatever. It's just kind of like weird
poop movies.
Fetish films.
Okay, yeah.
How much stand-up are you doing these days?
Dude, not enough. I was like, I just was talking about this. So I did my special in the end of 18, and then I was like, kind of burnt out because I was doing so much acting work, and then to try to also do stand-up at the same time and give it the, like, because you really should be going out all the time to like stay sharp. And I just felt like I wasn't giving it enough. And I was like, I think I'm going to take a little break, just do some acting stuff. And then in 2020, get back to it. And then, you know, the pandemic hit. And then as soon as I got back from the pandemic, it was like for the past 2 years, I was home a total of like 5 or 6 weeks in 2 years. Like, where you just, like, come, you touch your stuff, and then you leave again because you got somewhere else to be. So, but right now, it's like the Workaholics movie was canceled, and then the strike hit. And so now I should be going out, but I'm just being a lazy sack of shit. But all my friends are like, come down, come to the improv or the comedy store. Like, I'll give you a spot. And I'm like, yeah. What time is that? They're like, 8:30, and I'm like, ooh, yeah. I like to be stoned on my couch at 8:30, so I don't know. But are you out there out and about?
Yeah, dude, I've been touring my dick off.
That's sick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm actually.
I do miss it. It's something so fun about just being on stage and making people laugh, like in the moment, as opposed to, you know, you do a movie or whatever, and
you gotta wait months to hear them.
Yeah, and especially on Netflix, you're like. You're like, are they laughing? You know, you're just like looking online, and you know, sometimes people are nice online, but for the most part, people are like, does Adam Devine have Down syndrome? That's like the main that's the main thing that people say. Yeah, so it's not you don't get that same thing that you do from stand up.
Right. Yeah, I love it, man. I've got my whole thing with the multimedia comedy. So
No, that's sick.
I film forbidden things and then make an act out of it and pay off the bits with the footage of the...
That's fun, dude. Yeah. That's so fun. Yeah, I remember when you first started to show up around the clubs. It was cool to see.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah. I remember seeing you in clubs, too, man. It's fun.
That's also what I miss about doing stand-up is, like, the camaraderie. Like, actors don't have the same level... of camaraderie. Like, if you see another actor who you kind of know, you like, will be like, at a restaurant or whatever. But it's like comics, even if you don't know that other comic, you just sort of like gravitate towards them at a party and be like, because you know you're kind of the misfit weirdo and you're like, I guess we'll be friends today. And it's nice when you're in a weird city, or not even weird city, just a random city. You know that you can go to the comedy club and that's home base. That can be home base no matter what. So I miss that that sense of community for sure.
It sure can. Have you been in touch with your boy Zac Efron?
Yeah, dude, he hit me up like 2 weeks ago. Zach is like, I mean, he's all over the place, this guy, and I haven't seen him in years, and I haven't even really talked to him within that long, and he hit me up, and he was like, dude, I'm sorry I've been MIA, let's hang out more, and I'm like, hell yeah, dude, let's hang out, obviously, and then he was like, I got a favor to ask, and I'm like, okay, and he goes, can I live with you for 2 weeks? This is just like a month ago, he's asked if he can live with me, and I was like, yeah, all right, man. Yeah, come on down. I would love to have you. Like, fuck, let's party. I you know, I love Zach, and then he's like, awesome. I'll hit you up tomorrow. I guess he had like bought a house, but it wasn't closing. He couldn't get the keys for a few weeks or something, and he was like, yeah, let's hang out. And then I'm like, all right. And then he goes, I'll hit you up in a couple of days, and we'll figure out a plan. I'm like, great. So I tell my wife, and then my wife is like, Zac Efron's gonna live with us, and so she's like washing, like triple washing the sheets, and you know, you're cleaning like a mad woman. I'm like, our house is perfectly fine for a guest, and then didn't hear back from him.
Okay, he was on his way to your house, and he stopped off at a poker game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was just parked and was like, maybe this is
some
it.
Noises,
yeah,
and he went to a poker game.
He was in Australia, wasn't he? Like just like.
Like years.
Just moved there permanently.
Yeah. I know I know he loves Australia. We did a press tour of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates in Australia, and he just like, it was just like home for him. Yeah. And so he was like, I'm gonna live here one day, and then sure enough, like he just up and decided to move to Australia, which is so cool. Not something that I would ever do, but I love the fact, I love people that are just willing to be like, And now I live here.
Right. Dude, I was just like, it popped in my head as a random question, and I had no idea that the answer was going to be that fascinating.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have been. If you would have asked me like 2 months ago, I would have been like, yeah, I haven't really talked with him for a couple years, like, mm-hmm. other than like a random text here and there. But yeah, it was like, he FaceTimed me, and he was like, in the Bahamas at some like golf resort, and he was just like, I'm really into golf lately. And then he sends me a video of him like doing a chip shot, and he's like, I'm like, sick.
That's great.
Yeah.
I saw a YouTube video recently that said that there's some really seedy, like, crazy,
do tell,
world of yachting. Yacht, like the dark side of yachting, being on luxury yachts.
What's the dark side of it?
The dark side.
Because I've been on a yacht. I thought it was pretty fucking cool.
Right.
I didn't see the dark side.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the ultra rich people on the yachts, and they like hire all kinds of models to get on the yacht, and it's understood that model's gonna put out.
Oh, for sure. Well, that has to be.
So it's like basically like, and then this YouTube video about the dark side of yachting like suggested that it's been alleged that like all kinds of like high level like
it's international waters.
You know, like acting as
anything can happen out there.
Like maybe like doing some favors for some dough, like. And suggested that this is a way into the entertainment industry. You just got to go on this yacht, just get paid a little bit, do some favors.
Something strange for a
little
change.
Well, shit, man, I'm trying to go on this yacht.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Dark do some favors, get some rolls. It doesn't sound too bad.
I get seasick, though.
You know, it made me start to think that all these pictures we see of Leonardo DiCaprio on yachts, that he might be getting some action on there.
I don't think I think those girls would want to fuck Leo regardless of whether he's on a yacht or not. But I just went on like an awesome trip. My friend Nina Dobrev, who I'm in the Outlaws with, it was her birthday, and they got like a yacht in Indonesia, and I went to Indonesia and like spent some time. But there weren't any hookers on there, so it was a different vibe, much different. Yeah, it was just like friends hanging out. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Indonesia is
a yacht's like $12 out there.
Yeah, it was a little cheaper than in the Bahamas. I've looked into it. I was like, I came back and I was like, yeah, maybe I'm a yacht guy, because it was like the best vacation I've ever been on. Where it's just like you're on a boat and they're constantly like giving you little snacks and like handing you a drink, and you're like, this is my kind of vacation. And then I like was like, I'm gonna be a yacht guy, like, because I have a big birthday coming up. I turned 40 years old this year. So I'm like, you know what? I'm like, maybe I get a yacht for my 40th birthday. And then I looked up how much yachts cost, and I'm like, maybe I'm not a yacht guy.
Maybe
I'm like a nice hotel for a weekend type of guy.
Scott just turned 40.
Nice,
dude.
Yeah, I was, I looked into doing yachts, but I get seasick as fuck.
Oh, really? Like,
I can't even deal.
Yeah.
But I sailed around New Zealand, and it was okay,
and
because
you just vomited for...
No, that was Alaska. But, like, the way they did it was the guy picks you up, and you just kind of, like, hang out in little bays all day.
Yeah.
And then you go to the next bay, and you go to the next bay, but...
Yeah, that's kind of how Indonesia was. It was cool. I had never been there. It was, like, the most beautiful place I'd ever been. I'm sure New Zealand is wildly beautiful. But it was, like, there's so many islands that it, like, there's no, like, break. There's no, like, waves anywhere. So it was just, like, a lake with crystal blue water everywhere. It was rad.
Indonesia, they have killer waves.
Well, not where I was.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's, like, if you go on the outside of the islands, there's, like, sick breaks. But, like, where we were, I was like, this is, like, the flattest.
Mm-hmm. Now, had they taken you to a bitchin' break, would you have been shrouping it?
No, dude, I suck at surfing. Like, I'm the worst. What does shrelp mean? Does
it's
that mean
like shred?
Okay, shred. Okay. Yeah. I was like, what does that mean exactly? No, I suck, dude. I'm like, I have a place down in Orange County, so I'm like right on the beach, and I'm like, I'm gonna be a surfer. Like, all my friends are surfers. Right.
It's
like,
so hard,
dude.
Man.
I suck so bad, and they're all so good. So like, they don't even want to teach me. They're like over. They're like. figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm trying. And it's just miserable for me. So,
and I'm a liability in the water. Yeah. Like just causing crashes. And
You can't schlep or whatever that you just said.
I mean, sometimes like I can catch a wave and ride it. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
But it's just such a struggle.
Are you a skateboarder? Can you skate?
I do skate. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. That
doesn't transfer.
I'm definitely, it does not transfer.
Oh.
Skating does not transfer to surfing.
Well, once you're up, you're good. It's just catching the wave is the hardest part.
Yeah, and duck diving, you know. But now you seem to be like really fit. Like,
yeah, I wore my tightest shirt for this interview.
Yeah.
Are you like, I gotta let you guys know.
Are you just hitting the gym? Are you?
No, well, yeah. But I, no, I like tore my groin doing that Pitch Perfect show, the Bumper in Berlin show.
Okay.
And then since then, I've had all kinds of issues with like my groin and my back. And like, so I can't, I used to like cycle a lot and ride
bikes.
Let's
go back to, how did you tear your groin?
Just doing a fantastical kick. Just nice. Like giving it my all. So with like glitter hands.
John Claude Van Damme.
Totally, dude. I like just kicked up. It's so silly. It was just like the goofiest thing of me just like wiggling around. And I just went like whoop with my leg. And I felt like a whoosh. And I'm in Germany, and it was like day two of shooting the show. So, and I'm the lead, and so I needed to be singing and dancing for every goddamn episode. So they just gave me pain pills, and so it was me just chewing pain pills and like gritting through it, thinking like it would heal on its own. It didn't. Caused a lot of other issues. So it kind of fucked everything up. So now, like, I can't work out in the way I was used to. I used to like ride a bike all the time, and it kind of made me like skinny, you know, lean,
right,
like lean muscle. And so I have to like do something every day because I have like all this energy and I got to get it out some way. And so I like have just been lifting weights. Now
you're getting yoked.
Now I'm getting jacked as fuck, dude.
Dude, my lady told me, like, I think she said this yesterday. She said she saw something which it said, if you take a cigarette smoker, pack-a-day smoker,
mm-hmm,
who exercises, then put him next to a non-smoker, somebody who's never, ever smoked, who does not exercise,
mm-hmm,
the smoker's going to live a longer, healthier life.
Wait, why?
Because not exercising...
Where did she read this?
Not exercising is worse for you than smoking.
Yeah, I guess, well, if unless you get lung cancer and die, but
yeah. Sounds sus.
I feel like there's some nuance there, but I do think like having some level of
blood flow
of exercise, whether it's like my parents, that's been a while ago now, like five, maybe like 7 years ago now, something like that. But they lost like 50 and 60 pounds each.
Wow.
And just like that. And they like were never, they never really worked out their whole lives. And then they just, someone said that they looked like chicken nuggets. And they were like, well, it's time to start working out.
Wow.
And they started working out and they dropped all this weight. And yeah, they're like healthier looking than they've ever been. And they're just like, I think it's so important, and they don't really do that crazy stuff. It's like they just kind of go on like long walks every day and like...
Yeah, maybe eat a little less.
Yeah, eat a little healthier. Yeah. It's also easier to eat a little healthier when you do work out because you're like, oh, I worked out, I shouldn't...
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't eat this like Twinkie or the candy bar, you know?
Because you're like, I just worked out, I deserve a Twinkie.
Yeah, but you were going to eat that Twinkie regardless. Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Here's a qualifier for what Lux saw and what she told me about with the smoking. And this is something that Vinny said affected him pretty deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You see old people, really old people, mm-hmm, smoking away all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You never see really old, super obese people.
No, you sure don't.
Yeah. So,
I went to Chipotle today, and I like ordered some tacos, and I was eating, and I looked around, and everybody in there was like super overweight, Mm-hmm. And I just threw it away and left.
Is that right?
Did you really?
I did. I fucking did, dude.
Well, I just saw, like, a thing, and who knows how real it is, because it's, like, on the internet, so who knows? It might be, like, this study that who knows if that's real or not. But it was, like, a guy who, I mean, was a big guy, but it was, like, 1909 or 1916, like, something a long time ago. And he was, like, a big guy. Well, not bigger than other people that you know, like I have family members that are like just as big as this guy. And it said that he was the world's fattest man at that time.
Wow.
And you're like, that guy was the big, it just goes to show like all the processed, all the 3D printed chicken that people are eating.
Yeah. Well, I think people were like, they said the average person in the Civil War was like 5'9", 130 pounds.
Oh dang! So,
like humans.
So
are
if the Civil War happened, and like a bunch of like people from 2023 were to go fight in the Civil War, we'd kick their asses,
yeah,
dude.
Time machine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Just but like punching the average through. Man was just tinier, you know.
Oh yeah, it's like if you have a and like an like our especially our house down in Orange County, it's like a 1920s beach cottage, and like the doors are like super skinny, everything's like tiny. And, like, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is, people were so fucking small back then. Yeah. And I'm not a big guy, but I'm a giant man in this house, you know?
Dude, the fattest person in the world. I'm just thinking they've got that My 600-Pound Life show, mm-hmm. and there's no shortage of cast members for that. So,
oh, yeah.
Whoever's the fattest person in the world has to be, like, in the thousands of pounds.
No.
Thousands, maybe like
maybe 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000.
She's 3,000 pounds.
Like one
size of this fucking bus.
See, this is where we need. Sure. This is where we need like a Jamie who's bring it up and have it on the computer, the screen right here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Dude. I think it's time to level up our game, dude, and become a little bit more multimedia.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's like your show, dude. It's time to level
dude,
up
it's time to level up.
Multimedia the pod.
Have you said you're a decent singer. Have you made music? Do you have like a...
No, I haven't really. I might really enjoy doing it. I just, I haven't. No, I mean, I do things for the show and I do things for the Pitch Perfect movies, but no, I you know, I'm so concentrated on like... what I'm doing, like getting movies off the ground, doing the Outlaws, that movie, trying to set up that thing. Like I'm trying to write a book right now.
Nice.
So like trying to get that off the ground, just like all that other stuff. I'm like, it's just another creative endeavor on the plate, which it probably would just be like a fun thing to do. How like Seth Rogen got into pottery. It's like, he doesn't need to be like a professional pottery guy, but he like, likes enjoys doing it. And it's like, oh fuck, I like doing this. So I might
play any instruments.
No, that's my Achilles heel. I just can't. I don't play shit.
What would you play? If you could.
I played the drums a little bit as a kid, but then my parents, I only learned one beat. And my parents were like, we're selling it. We're selling your drum kit because it's just me going for like hours. And it wouldn't change it up. It was just me just fucking getting that beat down. My dad's like, fucking stop. And also, we lived in like a 1,500 square foot house. So my parents were like, make it stop, you know.
That's great, man.
Yeah, so you meet some actors that are like wildly talented that are like, I can tap dance, I can play the piano, I can sing, I speak three languages, you know, and I'm wildly untalented. I only can do a couple things,
but I just think that you're great, man. You're killing
thanks,
it,
man.
Dude. Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
there's
thanks.
my Maynard moment with Adam Devine. I'm just absolutely riveted by The Righteous Gemstones.
Thanks, man.
And if anybody hasn't seen it, you are blowing it.
It's fun. It's a really fun show.
And The Outlaws sounds like really hysterical, man.
I think you'd really like it. Check it out when it comes out, July 7th on Netflix.
Who are the in-laws? The
Pierce Brosnan and Ellen Barkin. So it's fun, dude.
Yeah. All right. Netflix. The Outlaws.
That's right.
And as this comes out on July 6th, we're talking tomorrow.
Yep.
Midnight tonight.
Tune in.
Yeah, and it's got to, you got to watch it right away at first. You got to give that boom.
That initial boost.
That initial pop.
It's cool. Netflix, it is amazing. Their algorithm like really pushes it to people. So, and we did it with Adam Sandler's company, so Happy Madison. And so they just really know how to make movies. It was so impressive to like work with them because we had like five guys around the monitors just pitching jokes.
Nice.
Which wow. I was like, which was That's so cool. nice to take. Because when me and the work, all these guys make a movie, it's like, it's us.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just takes a lot of the pressure off to go like, so your brain isn't constantly like in a scene going like, and what, and thinking of things that Durst can say and thinking of things that Blake could say. It's like, you could concentrate on your performance and then go back to the brain trust, take three ideas and go, yeah, I'm going to try that one and then run and go do it. It was super fun.
Dude, that's cool. Epic. Sick. Well, right on, man. Awesome, continued dude. Success, brother. Continued success. Cool.
Thanks, dudes.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man. I'm not going to try.
So we're on the other side. Like, I always ask if there's anything that you want to like cut out. Like,
if anything, more butthole talk.
Yeah.
How about that, man? Do we love this guy or what? And how about the fact that I'm sitting here in London, England, with my crazy dog that I found at this shelter in a town called Hull. The dog's attacking other dogs, people, like my girl. All right, I'm going to start that over. Yeah. I already said the dog's been attacking everybody in an ad read earlier.
That's not helpful.
3, 2, 1.
How about that, man? Juicy episode, right? Can you believe the Zac Efron stuff? Can you believe the Haterade stuff? Talking about, man, I'm just glad that it was so entertaining. And I'm glad that you're here at the very end so that I can tell you again, I'm in London. It's the first time, is this the first time we've ever done ad reads just with the lav mic? I mean, it's crazy. I think that I never want to use the handheld mic stand. You know, if this sounds good, maybe let us know. How did the ad reads in this outro, in the intro, with this microphone sound? I don't know. And again, I'm in London. I'm having a great trip. I might get arrested tomorrow. I'm just saying. Wish me luck. Love you.